Concord Monitor arts editor Clay Wirestone has been writing about his experience as a gay parent. He's authored a series of articles about the process that he and his husband have gone through in adopting their 2-year-old son. This series has also looked at the history of gay adoption in the Granite State. Clay joins us to talk about the series. Clay, welcome to Morning Edition.
Good to be here.
Let's talk now about the history a little bit about gay adoption in the Granite State. Specifically, what did you find in your reporting?
Well, it's interesting because we like to think of New Hampshire as being a libertarian trailblazer in a lot of ways, but in terms of gay adoption, it was a trailblazer in a very different sense. It was the first state, I believe, to actually enact an all-out ban on gay adoption back in 1987, something that very few states actually ended up doing. I think Florida had one for a while. I think there are some still perhaps in Mississippi and Utah. It was a very different time. The spring of 1987, when this was all happening, was one of the first times that AIDS was really coming to the public consciousness.
Fast forward to about 15 years in the future, the late 90s, and what prompted the repeal of that?
Well, what actually had happened was around 96, 97, New Hampshire actually passed an extension to the civil rights law in the state. In other words, the non-discrimination law, and added sexual orientation to the list of protected categories. And it was kind of a trailblazer. But a couple of years after that, then, you know, one of the few kind of remaining overtly anti-gay laws on the books was the gay adoption, gay foster parent law. And so it was just brought up kind of as a test case by a House member who at the time was a House member, Ray Buckley, who's now the chair of the state Democratic Party. It ended up sailing through, kind of to a lot of people's surprise, I think, at the time, who thought that it might have been a more controversial measure. But really, when you look at the news articles from that time, the impression I get was that everyone kind of wanted this to be over.
You know, in the last decade, of course, you see kind of a sea change, not only nationally, but here in New Hampshire, of course, with civil unions being put through the legislature rather quietly, as mm-hmm. I remember. And, of course, gay marriage coming about with mm-hmm. with relatively little controversy, I would argue, when you look mm-hmm. at the national debate. And how attitudes have changed in the last 15 years to the point where you and your husband had a relatively normal process in your adoption.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was... In the story that I wrote about our own experiences, I do mention that that's something that surprised me a little bit, which was you start something like this. And I mean, I come from an experience. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Kansas, which is a very culturally and religiously conservative state. And I expected at some point throughout the entire process that there would be another shoe that would drop somewhere along the way. And that really never happened, much to my shock. And it didn't even happen in the state where we went to adopt, because our birth mother and where we went out to pick up our son, we actually attended the birth. That was out in Arizona. We saw nothing but support from people at the hospital and all of the folks that we met out there. One of the things that's interesting about gay adoption and gay marriage, because these are issues that are a lot of times really connected by people. People think of gay marriage and gay adoption as being very similar, but actually they're in many ways handled entirely separately. There are a lot of states that allow gay couples to adopt that do not allow gay couples to marry, because it's, you know, because adoption is handled in the family courts. The general standard is what's in the best interests of the child. So gay couples have been able to adopt in general without a, you know, depending on the state, have been able to adopt pretty much from the 80s to the 90s to now. And I did include in the article kind of a breakdown, and there are about 20 states or so where gay couples can adopt jointly. There are roughly another 20 where it's kind of up to the individual judge's discretion. So it's actually really interesting, because people have a lot of this assumption sometimes that it's like, well, if gay marriage isn't legal, that means that gay people aren't able to adopt, or there aren't gay families. But that's very much not the case.
Nationally speaking, as you kind of did your research for the series of articles, how do you feel that the recent decision, the Supreme Court decision on DOMA, is going to affect the adoption process?
I think the main way that the DOMA decision could shake out for adoptive couples is in these states where the laws are not clear about whether or not a gay, both members of a gay couple can adopt a kid. It's very important to note that in every state, an individual gay person can adopt a child. And that's been true for quite a while now. There was one state for a long time that wouldn't even allow individual gay people to adopt, and that was Florida. That was overturned by a court a couple of years ago. So the issue really becomes, well, if you're a couple, do both people in the couple have equal parental rights for the kids? And I would expect DOMA in the states where that's unclear and it's up to individual judges' discretion, I'd expect that to be something that at least becomes an argument in some of the cases that come up to courts, but specifically if judges are denying it. You know, one of the things that's important to note about DOMA is that DOMA is specifically about the federal recognition of same-sex marriages. And adoption, again, because it's performed on this state level of the state family courts, tends to be treated as separately. And in some ways, that's, as I've said, that's actually been a big advantage over the last couple of decades, because it's allowed a lot of gay couples to adopt and a lot of gay families to be formed in states that otherwise not might not be particularly sympathetic to their interests. You know, I would expect the DOMA decision to be cited in a lot of cases and in a lot of different contexts.
What about outside of law? What about talking about society in general? This kind of perceived mainstream sea change over the last decade or so, not only concerning gay marriage, but by default, probably gay adoption. I mean, in your experience as a gay family in living in New Hampshire, what have you seen as far as cultural expectations?
One of the reasons we moved to New Hampshire when we did, which was the mid-2000s, was that at the time, there were very few states that had both laws that forbid discrimination against gay people and that allowed them potentially to adopt. So, you know, pretty much since we came up here, our experience has been very consistent. We felt like New Hampshire itself has always been pretty receptive. It's not the most demonstrative state in many ways, but, you know, we've never felt less than accepted. I also think it's important to note, too, that one of the things that's interesting is that people consistently overestimate the number of gay people that there are. And the best data I came across said that there are about 538 same-sex couples raising children in New Hampshire, which is a reasonable number, but it's certainly not overwhelming.
Clay Wirestone of the Concord Monitor has written a series about gay adoption in the Granite State and specifically his experience with he and his husband and two-year-old son. You can read that series online at concordmonitor.com. Clay, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.